KXNO, Des Moines. The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by NCMEC. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon, live from the DraftKings Sportsbook at Wild Rose Studios. This is 1460 KXNO. Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Right, 11 o'clock hour, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, take you up until noon. In about 15 minutes, Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports. We'll look back at Tuesday for hoops, look ahead to Saturday for football, and squeeze in Latrell Bankston, who's committed to Iowa State, a JUCO D tackle from Hutchinson College. I think he was like in the top five, I think, ranked, maybe three.
Yeah, number three defensive tackle out of the JUCO ranks, top 20 player nationally, regardless of position.
Is he really?
In junior college from 24/7.
No wonder so they're so excited about him.
Yes.
So no we'll talk doubt. To Alex Halstead about that, and then Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, will opine on Illinois and Iowa. Right now, Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register. It's Valley, it's Dowling, it's tomorrow night. Cody will be there. So will Trent Condon. Cody, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad I'm finally able to get on your guys' show. I've been listening for a few months now, just kind of, you know, chomping at the bit to get on here and talk with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, Cody. We do. And I'm going to be doing a lot of listening to you and Trent here coming up. But, you know, this is the first time, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that we've had two CIML schools play for a state championship since they changed the rules that it wasn't east side of the state, west side of the state. How do you think this, because I mean, I'm all for it, clearly. I think I speak for most of Central Iowa. But if it would Bettendorf and, say, City High, not a lot of TVs being tuned in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. How do you think this is playing out statewide, Cody?
I think there's a lot of people that are interested. I mean, I've talked with a handful of coaches, you know, around the state. I mean, I was there last Friday for both the semifinal games, and, you know, Bettendorf coach Aaron Wiley and Cedar Rapids Kennedy coach Brian White were both like, hey, you know, these two teams are the best, and it's only fitting that, you know, now they finally get a chance to play in the title game, because for years, and, you know, I say for years, I think dating back to 2005, you can count seven times have met in the postseason, and you know most of them have been in the semifinals. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple quarterfinal matchups, and I think there was one in the round of 16. But there's always kind of been that curiosity, you know, hey, if these two teams really are the best, why aren't they meeting in the final? And so the RPI system allowed for at least that opportunity to happen, and it took all of 2 years for us to see a Valley Dowling final, which I think is exciting for, you know, especially people, exciting for us here in Central Iowa. But I think it's gonna draw a lot of eyeballs around, you know, the rest of the state of Iowa as well.
Cody, these two teams faced off in week two at Valley Stadium. Valley won that 29-22. We know year after year it seems like Dowling looks to be a different team in November than they are early in the season. Probably the case again here. But how much do you read back to week two in that 29-22 win?
There's things you can learn from that game, right? I mean, you got to take into account the fact that at that point in time, these are two different teams that are going to take the field tomorrow night. You know, Dowling, I know they're always run first, you know, and they especially were in that week two matchup. They had Tegan Johnson, but they didn't have Gavin Williams, right? Mm-hmm. So how much of a factor is he going to play in tomorrow night? At the same time for Valley, you know, I think they relied a little bit on quarterback Braden Ketcher, who's able to throw the ball. He can move out of the pocket a little bit, you know, at least in the second half of that week two game. But Valley didn't really have Jaden Williams, or at least they weren't exactly sure who they had in Jaden Williams in that week two matchup. And he's really emerged, and, you know, he eclipsed 1,000 yards rushing for the year last week when he scored three touchdowns against Bettendorf. So, you know, both of these teams have gotten better. They've remained relatively healthy. And tell you what, man, it's going to be a showdown because, these two teams are very identical when you really kind of get to the nitty-gritty of it.
I want to get back to high school football in just a second, but there's a little bit of breaking news, baseball-related. I know this will make Sean Roberts and Emery Songer really happy.
Ooh.
White Sox made a significant free agent signing, all-star catcher from the Brewers, Yasmani Grandal.
Wow.
Yeah, four-year deal, I think. Anyways, he's a White Sox. They mean business. Sorry, Trent.
No problem at all. Hey, you know, you mentioned teams looking a little bit different. Really enjoyed your article on Jaden Williams, a guy that wasn't running the football a whole lot. Valley has a two-headed monster there. Creighton Mitchell, the speedster on the outside. Jaden Williams, a guy I didn't know much a whole lot about until the season progressed. And Creighton Mitchell went down with an injury there in the middle of the season. He's played really well. Great story there on him, and a guy that gets to play where his dad played football up at the Unidome when he was with the Panthers.
Yeah, his dad, Darian Williams, I'm not sure how many people remember, but, you know, those 06, 07 Panther teams, especially 07, they went 12-1. They were the one seed in the playoffs that year. Darian Williams kind of emerged, you know, as a nice, you know, part of the backfield there. I think he ended up rushing for 1,000 yards over the 2 years he was in Cedar Falls. And young Jaden was there along for the ride. You know, Darian had Jaden when, you know, he was just 16 years old, still in high school. And Jaden was there, you know, as he finished his high school career in East Moline, as he continued on to Iowa Central and Fort Dodge, and then as he continued on to the Unidome at Northern Iowa during those seasons. So, you know, he mentioned it briefly after the semifinals, you know, just about how, you know, he had dreamt of the opportunity to run on the Unidome carpet. And, you know, so I was able to kind of talk to him about that a little bit more. And I thought that was a really cool story. You know, just, you know, Jaden has kind of grown up around football, and it's all he's ever really wanted to do. So, you know, these opportunities that he gets, to play at the Unidome and, you know, to show out for Valley, because it's been a while since they've been at the Unidome, right? So it's not just an opportunity for him. It's an opportunity for Gary Swenson and the rest of that Tiger team as well. And so I appreciate you reading, appreciate that plug. If you want to go read more, DesMoinesRegister.com, right?
Absolutely. You know, it strikes me that it's when that garage door goes up, there's still something special. And we had one in our house that my stepson played for Pizzetti, I think 2005, 2006. And just how pumped he was, and this whole team and everybody that does it before they would get crushed by Valley seemingly every year. It'd be a long, quiet drive home. But when that garage door goes up and those kids get the opportunity to play in that dome, that really resonates, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what you dream of, right? And it's a unique thing here in Iowa. And I you know, I'm from Kansas City, and in Missouri, if your football team is good enough, you spend Thanksgiving in St. Louis at the Edward Jones right. Dome if your team is in the state finals. You know, this, you know, in Iowa, you know, if you get to the semifinals, you get to the Unidome. And, you know, generally speaking, if you get to the dome, anything can happen. You know, we saw two lopsided victories for the Tigers and the Maroons last weekend. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are really excited to see how tomorrow's going to unfold.
Six consecutive state championships for Dowling Catholic. I've asked it. I'm sure you've asked it before. Gary Swenson on the other side, seeing his rival, Tom Wilson, and the success that they've had. Gary hasn't won a title since 2011, just 2011. But it's the Valley program. How much do you think it eats at it? I know he wouldn't answer the question to you or me, but how much do you think this has gnawed at Gary Swenson over the last six seasons?
Oh, I'm sure it's bugged him a little bit, because you look at the way that these two teams have played each other. You know, since Wilson got to Dowling in 2005, they've played 22 times, 11-11.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. And so neither team has won any more than three in a row in the series, as far as, you know, the research I've been able to kind of dig up. And then you look at the last few games. You know, Valley won in week two of this season. Last year, Dowling won in the state quarterfinals, but Valley won in the regular season. And that was the first time in quite a while that they had a rematch in the postseason. You know, because you look back at 2016, Valley, led by Rocky Lombardi, was able to beat Dowling, but they lost before a rematch could materialize. Same thing happened in 2014 during Rocky's freshman year. So, it kind of bugs him a little bit, I'm sure, you know, that he's been, you know, they've been able to beat Dowling and not able to get that postseason rematch, because, you know, last year was, I think, the first postseason rematch since 2015, and it was also the first time that the winner of the regular season game lost in the postseason, because usually if they have postseason rematches, whoever won the first one ended up winning the second one as well. Looking at 2013, 2015, it was Dowling, and then, you know, 2005, 2008, 2011, it was Valley. So, you know, I'm sure it bugs him a little bit. And, you know, I know as the competitor that he is, I'm sure he's excited to get back out there and play them again, too.
Cody Goodwin joining us from the Des Moines Register. He'll be on the beat. He'll be there tomorrow night. Valley Dowling. And you can hear the call here, KXNO.com, and on the iHeartMedia app. We'll join in progress after Iowa State women's basketball. Cody, one more on football. Eight-player championship going on, and then I do have a wrestling question for you. Don Bosco leading 2013 over Audubon in that eight-player championship. What else? If people are looking for another game to get excited about, what other of the remaining, well, four games after this eight-player one are you looking forward to the most outside of Valley Dowling in the championship matchups?
Oh, man, can I say all of them, or do I have to pick one?
Just one, just one.
If I had to pick one, I'd probably go with the Friday morning one, actually. Class 1A, Van Meter, West Lyon.
Yes.
I'm very, very intrigued by that one. Both of these teams are battle-tested. I know Van Meter's district featured the likes of, Panorama and Mount Air, just a really tough district all around. And then West Lyon, you know, emerged from that district with West Sioux and Western Christian, and they had to beat the Falcons in the semifinals last week. You know, it's not easy to beat Hunter Deckers. Nobody had really been able to do it the last couple of years. So give credit to Jay Roseboom and those West Lion Wildcats. I'm very excited. You know, two really well-balanced teams with explosive offenses. It could be a great way to kick off Friday morning at the Unidome.
All right, wrestling, you're heading over to Iowa City today. Got media availability for that one. The question, I think, permeating the state right now, we got Iowa State duel coming up on Sunday, but can Iowa finally win a national championship? Can they finally get rid of this Penn State, just what they built? Ohio State got them 1 year, but it has been a decade of dominance. How good of a shot to give the Hawks this year to ultimately take the title?
Yeah, I think very similar to how we kind of view the Class 4A playoffs. You know, until Dowling gets beat, they're probably the favorite when it comes to the postseason, right? I think mm-hmm. you can apply that same mindset to NCAA Division I wrestling. Until Penn State gets beat, they're probably going to be the favorites to win it unless we see something that, you know, suggests something otherwise. That said, I think Iowa's in position to truly contend for the NCAA championship this year, probably for the first time since the 14-15 season when Ohio State was able to rip it from them during those 3 days in March. You know, they've got the team. This is one of the best teams they've had, I think, since they last won it in 09-10. You know, they've got some great depth. They've got a lot of talent. Their lineup this year features 7 All-Americans. And the other 3 guys, you know, 2 of them have come a win away from the podium at the NCAA championships, and the other one is a very talented redshirt freshman heavyweight in Tony Cassiope. He opened his year with a pin last week. So the championship window is open for these Hawkeyes. It's just a matter of can they do it in those 3 days in March, and that's ultimately how this season is going to be defined.
Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register. Cody, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. You're very good on the air, as I told you when I met you in the hallway a few months back. We'll read you at DesMoinesRegister.com covering the wrestling and, of course, the high school as we move from football into basketball and dot, dot, dot. Thank you, Cody.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register. If this, if the writing thing doesn't work out, he's good on the air, Trent.
Oh, no, there's no doubt.
Yeah, he really is. All right, we'll take time out. Alex Halstead next on Iowa State. Got a lot of ground to cover with Alex. Do some basketball. Take a look back to Tuesday night. Some recruiting stuff and a peek ahead to Kansas and Iowa State. We'll find out Saturday night or Sunday when the K-State Iowa State. Saturday night.
Yep.
And the two windows were middle of the afternoon or 6:30 or 7?
I think it was 6, wasn't
was it?
Was it 2:30 and 6? Yeah, right in that range, though.
We'll find it. We'll know Saturday night what time the finale of the regular season is going to kick off. All right, Miller and Condon with you until noon. Mark Morehouse in 20 minutes on the Hawks. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Streaming live from coast to coast on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. 15 or 20 minutes, Mark Morehouse will join us. We'll talk Hawks. Right now we're going to do that with Iowa State. Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. A lot of ground to cover. Football, basketball, recruiting. And let's start there, Alex. First of all, good morning. Thank you for coming on. Latrell Bankston is, I guess, the heir apparent to Johnson or Lima, but a pretty big need. And I'm assuming 2 years left for one of the top JUCOs at his position. And overall, Trent tells me top 20 player overall, JUCO-wise. Bankston, big get.
Yeah, good to be on with you. And then, yeah, about a little over an hour ago, Iowa State picked up its 22nd commitment of the 2020 recruiting class, and that is by way of Latrell Bankston, as you mentioned. And I think arguably the biggest commit of the class, just when you look at need and at least in terms of immediate impact. Bankston is a 6'1", 300-pound defensive tackle, a guy that had 12 sacks this year, was a Jayhawk Conference Player of the Year down in Hutchinson Community College in Kansas, is probably going to be a JUCO All-American. Trent's right, the number 17 overall JUCO in the country and the number 3 JUCO defensive tackle in the country by 24/7 Sports. So somebody Iowa State's been on since mid-August. They beat out the likes of Kansas State, Maryland, Boise State, Oregon State. I think Auburn was coming in but hadn't offered yet. This is a guy that Iowa State really targeted for a while because, like you said, they need to replace Ray Lima and Jamal Johnson. So he's supposed to graduate in December with 3 years to play, too, so has that redshirt available. But obviously the hope is that he comes in spring ball, fights for that job, and is a key impact player for the next 2 years starting in 2020.
You know, JUCO recruiting, it feels like it's different than it was you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago. But going out there and having a guy that's going to graduate in December, how important is that, a guy that'll be in for the spring to Campbell and his crew?
Yeah, that's huge, because you look at the fact of spring ball especially, and that's when you're going to get 15 practices over, what, 6 weeks, and get to learn the defense and all those sorts of things. I think you look back at past years, and the guys who've gotten there right away have typically been the guys who have maybe done something right away, and that's, you know, Ray Lima. You look at him versus Camilo Tangamoa. Ray Lima comes in the spring and becomes a three-year starter, and Camilo Tangamoa got there like a week before, or maybe even like the week of the first game, and it just took him a while. And I think by the end of his career, he was starting to show flashes. And one thing that hurt him, Camilo was probably a three-man front, and Ray Lima was the guy. But the other thing is, you know, he would have benefited from a redshirt, but he didn't have his redshirt. He was a two-for-two guy, never had spring ball. And so that first year was just kind of wasted. Whereas you look at a guy like Bankston, assuming he gets in early as is the expectation, he's a leg up in terms of JUCO guys.
We're talking with Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com. Well, let's get to this week and Senior Day, and we've seen a lot of tributes to the seniors, and it's a really good senior class, Alex. I don't have to tell you that. Some big holes going to remain. But the good news is Campbell has recruited very well. We're seeing the depth behind some of these guys. I guess as a unit overall, I mean, the offensive line takes... that's a pretty big blow, right? When four of their five starters are all going to walk tomorrow on Saturday on Senior Day. Pretty good group who's playing their best football in their final campaign.
Yeah, this is a pretty good group of seniors just in terms of impact. I mean, you look at the 20 guys that will graduate, and there's impact guys at every position, and really even the guys that are probably lower on that group of 20 in terms of playing, they're probably even still bigger special teams contributors. So from the four offensive linemen, like you mentioned, that's going to be one of the key areas next season, is, you know, replacing four of those five starters that are seniors. We just talked about Jamal Johnson and Ray Lima, defensive tackle, Marcel Spears at linebacker. And, you know, going through all those names, and you don't even mention Michael Petway and DeShawn Tate Jones, two of Iowa State's 500-plus yard receivers. So they lose a lot from this group, and this is a group that has meant a lot for them over the last 4 years. Some of them, you know, maybe 3 years, if you look at a guy like Ray Lima. And so, you know, they talked about that, you know, I think it was Brock Purdy or someone mentioned that, you know, they still feel like they have a lot to play for. Seven wins they hope this week, 8 wins they hope for the third straight year by the end of that K-State game, another bowl game. And this senior group will be, you know, I think just the second group to play in three bowl games. So, you know, they've obviously made a big impact on the program in that regard as well.
Alex, of course, we know about the seniors that'll be walking through. Is there any juniors that could be playing their final game in Jack Trice? Not guys that are transferring, graduates, or those types of things, but a guy or two that maybe will put their name out there and at the very least look at that advisory committee with the NFL and see what their grade is going to be?
Yeah, the names that always, you know, came up before the season, one of them was obviously Greg Eyes. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a Big 12 defensive newcomer of the year last year, preseason all Big 12. I think his injury, and I think, you know, all signs apply that he comes back for, you know, his senior season. I think the injury probably plays a little role in that, and I don't know if he's really considered or not. I think the way he talks, it seems like he would be back. Another name that people ask me about, he's actually not a junior but a redshirt sophomore, is Charlie Kohler. Yep. I think him, too, probably benefits from another year, but the type of season he's having, you know, one of 8 semifinalists for the Mackey Award. You know, the finalists will come out next week, could be one of, I think, I don't even know how many finalists they name, if it just gets cut down to 4 or whatever, but he's one of the best tight ends in college football. But I think he could probably benefit from another year, probably in the weight room, but also, you know, continuing to take another step blocking to kind of complement his whole game. You know, we talked to Todd McShay at Baylor early in the season. He said he wasn't elite, you know, in terms of maybe like a Gronk, but he could be a really good NFL type tight end. So I think, you know, he's got that potential, but it just seems like he could probably benefit, especially because he's a redshirt sophomore, not even a redshirt junior yet. So those are two guys, I think, before the season or as the season's got underway. But it seems like, for the most part, they shouldn't lose any, you know, underclassmen to the NFL this season.
Kansas is a 3-win football team. The Boston College win on a Friday night seemingly came out of nowhere. Texas Tech you know, Texas Tech depends on what week you you see them. Do you think that they might be turning a corner and the next week they stink and Kansas beat them? When you look at this Kansas football team, I like the quarterback, Carter Stanley, who doesn't get a lot of recognition because, after all, he plays at Kansas. But he's certainly a decent player. Puka Williams, one of those guys, he's hit or miss, but he can do some damage. Not a big guy, but stands behind that offensive line waiting for that hole to open. What does Campbell and the coordinators, Manning and Haycock, say about this Jayhawks team who will be at Jack Trice at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning?
Yeah, that was one of the things Campbell said, and I don't really think it's coach speak in this regard, because you get it every week where, you know, this is a great opponent. Whether they're the worst team in the conference like Kansas or the best team like Oklahoma, you kind of get that talk. But I don't even think he was just kind of saying positive things when he said that Kansas does have several, maybe a handful of NFL-type players on their roster. They had that last year. They had a couple of defensive linemen and a receiver who I think are in the NFL right now from last year's roster. It's just they've never really put it all together in the last decade or so to have a good football team. But, you know, you look at Puka Williams and, like you said, a good quarterback, and they've got some different good players, especially on that offensive line and some things like that, but they just haven't really put it together when you look at the whole body of work. You know, in conference play, they've played three competitive games. Obviously, they beat Texas Tech, and then they lost one-score games to West Virginia and Texas. But then there are other four conference games that they've played so far. They've lost by 18-plus points. And so they've been there in a few games, and really for a couple weeks it was that they strung those games together. But for the most part, they just haven't really played competitive football. But, you know, that was kind of the talk from Campbell, is that, you know, they still think that there's some challenge, because I think Les Miles has gotten this team to play a lot better than we've seen in recent years, even if the wins haven't shown up.
Alex, let's jump into a little bit of basketball. Another victory Tuesday night against an outman team against Southern Miss, but a lot more missed three-pointers out there, much like there was against Northern Illinois. 3 of 25 in that game against NIU. A bit better, 5 of 22 against Southern. How concerning is this for you, though, as you watch this team, their struggles hitting the three?
Yeah, that's the big question right now. Over the last two games, you know, if you add those up, that's 8 of 47, 17% from three over the last two games. And they're only four games in, and Steve Crone said in practice they've been hitting them. When you look at the Northern Illinois game, especially a week ago, it was the backcourt of Tyrese Halliburton, Prentice Nixon, and Roger Bolton went over. So, you know, I think those three guys really have to just start hitting them. And, you know, Steve Crone said when you look at the Northern Illinois game, he thought that about 20, when he went back and logged them, 20 of the 25 he thought were good looks. He said they probably forced a few more against Southern Miss. So there is some forcing going on, but for the most part, they're just missing what he thinks are good shots or at least open looks. And so I think it's concerning from the standpoint of, you know, I think it's going to get better, but Steve Prohm said the goal is 38%, you know, to be the type of team they want to be. And how close can they get to that? I think that's maybe becoming a concern, because, you know, it's really up to a few guys. It's not like they have, you know, the Tyrus McGee or some of those guys that can come off the bench and do that like they used to have. And so I think that's probably the biggest concern as they go forward, because, you know, so far there's been a pretty big margin of error, you know, if they play good defense and that sort of thing. But when you get Michigan, Alabama, North Carolina next week, and then in the second week of December, Seton Hall in Iowa, that margin for error is not going to be as big where you can shoot less than 20% from three.
And here comes the Big 12 in January and February. Yeah, you know, you touched on it briefly, Alex. Who off the bench might they look to fill? Would it be Jackson? Would it be Grill? Who has the potential maybe to, you know, to get things going from behind the arc? Would it be Jackson?
Yeah, it'd be those two guys, you know, Caleb Grill and Trey Jackson. Before the season, Prohm said that Grill was a guy that they thought could come in and hit a three. I think he's proven that he could be more than that. He seems to be more like kind of their toughness defensive, you know, guy, and goes after rebounds, and he just plays really hard. But, you know, we've seen him actually in that Northern Illinois game where they hit only 3 of 25. He hit 2 of the 25. So he's one of the guys that they think can do it. And I think Jackson, too. Jackson's been a little bit streaky here early. But, you know, his whole scouting report is that, you know, he's pretty prolific from three. And, you know, last week, Roger Bolton told us, you know, he shot 200 three-pointers the day after the Northern Illinois game. Prohm said that he worked out with him recently, and he was just kind of on fire, was hitting them all. But, you know, so far it hasn't translated, you know, into the games. And I joked after the game Tuesday, maybe they need to check the rims of Hilton, because Southern and Miss went 0-16.
Right.
And that game as a whole, those two teams were pretty bad from three.
No doubt about it. Alex Halstead. Alex, go on record. What time is the K-State game going to kick off? I'm crossing my fingers it's a night game. Is my wish going to be granted?
Yeah, I'm gonna guess. Yeah, 6:30. I'm crossing my fingers for 2:30.
Right.
It's already. Now that it's not 11 a.m., I can drive down morning of. Now it's a question of, do I do the 10 hours in the car round trip, or do I stay in Kansas City afterwards? And it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, this is a game in Manhattan that's traditionally, I think, a lot of times recently feels like it's been a later game, and I don't know what it will go against. The question maybe would be, does Baylor beat Texas this week? And if they do, maybe they put Kansas and Baylor at night, although that's not that big of a appealing game either.
So you and Mont split the driving?
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet, but might have to. You know, the thing is, 2:30, like, the game gets over, and you can maybe get back at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., yeah. So that's kind of the question. But if it's 6:30, got to definitely stay there.
Indeed. Dylan, we'll talk to you next week. Alex, we'll talk to you next week. Not sure what day since we're off on Thursday, but we will find a spot for you. Program's better when you're on it. Thank you, Alex Halstead. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports. Please be a night game.
You want that night game?
I do. I don't want it to be in the on top of the Iron Bowl. Hawks play Friday.
You have Iron multiple Bowl. TVs, though, don't you?
Yeah, but I can't watch two games. Well, I can.
You can.
But you gotta, nah, just play it at night.
It's too much for you.
It is for the old man. Anyways, we'll take a timeout. Mark Morehouse will join the program next. We have yet to get to the Hawks. We will rectify that when we come back. Cedar Rapids Gazette for Mark. Right now, caller number one, we've got a four-pack of tickets. You want to see the Iowa Wild on Saturday night? You have to pick them up before the close of business tomorrow. Four-pack of tickets. Caller one, Iowa Wild, Saturday night.
If you can't go, don't call.
Right. And if you call in and say, what did they win? We're going to go to the next caller. But it's caller number one, 284-5966. These are for Saturday. We're taking caller number one right now. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station, 14.
No. 24-hour sports anywhere in the world on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon. Final segment here on a Thursday. Cyclone Fanatic Radio tonight at 6. Hawkeye Nation Radio Show tonight at 7.
Myself and Andrew Downs.
You're doing it again? Boy, they're getting their money's worth out of you.
Hey, can never say no, right?
Absolutely. Let's get Mark Morehouse in here. He's never said no, at least very rarely, and we're grateful for him for doing that. Cedar Rapids Gazette is where you can read him. His break, his game day analysis of Iowa, Illinois is up at Gazette.com. Mark, Trent, and Ken, thank you, sir, for coming on. How are you?
Great. I hope you guys are doing well.
We are. And you know what? I'm glad I read your piece today because I was not aware. I mean, we see the record. We see where Illinois was forecast to be this year, right at the bottom, them and Rutgers, the two worst teams in the Big Ten. And then all of a sudden, here's a 6-win football team making their way to Iowa City, Northwestern next week. You would think they would get the 7. How has Lovie done it? You made a great point in your piece, Mark. He has mined the transfer portal, and it has been very beneficial to Lovie Smith's Fighting Illini.
Agree, and I wrote my Illinois preseason stuff with the idea, or just I was pretty harsh. I mean, there wasn't much to hang on to, and I saw one of the worst Power 5 football games last year at Illinois. It was 63-0 Hawkeyes, and there were 14,000 Illinois fans there. So I was kind of thinking that program was pushing up daisies. How often, Ken, do we see, in college football especially, a team just put its foot down and start winning and just kind of shed some of the bad habits and kind of cash in on just about, I mean, if you watch the Michigan State game, cashing in on every opportunity. So, amazing turnaround. I didn't see it coming. And then the transfer portal part of it blows my mind. It kind of reminds me of Fred Hoiberg's teams at Iowa State.
Nice.
Built them for the transfers. Actually, there was no transfer portal then, but there was transferring. Yeah. And to me, smart. Yeah. It injects your team with athletes. And I think they have 3 or 4 guys from USC. So that doesn't hurt either.
What? Can I just jump in back to that game you were referring to, Michigan State game? And Mark, they missed a kick to tie to 31-31. I thought, they're not going to overcome this, and they did.
Yeah, they've had a little bit of luck. Let's be honest. I mean, the Wisconsin game was I don't know how many games Iowa has won where, you know, that was the Minnesota game where Iowa was outrushed like 340-6. So yeah, they've had some good luck, but four straight games of it. No, I think there's some competency there, and I think the transfer portal. Yeah, you know, they have a quarterback now. They have a high motor pass rusher, I think, might be out for this game, but it's given them an identity. It's given them athletes. Given them an injection, and hey, it's given them a bowl game.
Josh Emmett or Bebe? I think I got it right this time. Looked at the pronunciation guide. The USC wide receiver transfer. He's been making plays on the outside. They can run the football, certainly, throughout. How dangerous of a spot here? Not that it'll be a decent game. It'll be close in the fourth quarter. But after last week's victory, kind of getting some of that negativity surrounding the program away, how good big of a chance to win this game do you give Illinois?
Not very.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you look at the numbers, if you look at what Illinois really is, I don't think you can plan on those types of takeaways. I mean, that's an avalanche of takeaways, and Illinois is leading the nation in takeaways at 26. That's more than Clemson. So there's something going on there, but to me, that's something you really can't count on. And then if you look at all the numbers that Illinois isn't good at, like, say, rush defense, just sustained drives and offense, none of that stuff matches up with what Iowa showed it might be good at last week. You know, Tyler Goodson finally, you know, getting totally unveiled to the world, and I don't see Illinois dealing with that very well. This passing game, I don't see Illinois getting the quarterback enough to really affect Stanley. I see Iowa getting to the quarterback a lot in this game. So the things that Illinois is good at really don't measure up to Iowa, and I think Iowa's better at the things that is better at most football things than Illinois. Maybe takeaways, but like I said, you can't count on those.
Senior day tomorrow's Saturday, Kinnick Stadium. Of course, Nate Stanley, we know that, or at least we think, both of the tackles, although not seniors, are going to probably play their last game at historic Kinnick. Paulson, Brady Ross, a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball in the line. Lattimore, Reef, Epinesa probably done, you would think so. Christian Welsh, who has such a big role in that win over Minnesota. Some dudes going to be playing their final game at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday, Mark.
Yeah, I wrote about the Paulsons this week. They're actually from... I think they're actually from Mobile, but their family is from a place called Climbing Hill, Iowa. Still blows my mind. I'm 52 years old. I've lived in Iowa probably 40-something years. I still hear a town that I've never heard of before. And I love that. Yeah. The Paulsons, they came from Class A football in Iowa. Their dad was putting on a roof, and their grandfather was outworking him. Their dad buys some muscle and fitness magazines. Basically the strength coach for Woodbury Central High School. They help each other lift weights. They come out of nowhere, literally nowhere. And they made it this far in NFL, in college football. It blows my mind. Climbing Hill, Iowa to Kinnick Stadium, just measure that. That's an achievement in and of itself in my mind. So, yeah, the seniors, I think 32-17. I think 13 trophy games, 13-5 in trophy games. That to me blows my mind. Of course, if they would have gotten one of those Wisconsin ones, it would have blown my mind even more. But accomplished. This is an accomplished group. And you know, Stanley. I think people are going to have a little bit of a cognitive dissonance when he goes, because he did so much. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, the senior class. It's a big deal to me. 32 wins, that's crossing a pretty good threshold for Iowa, you know, Iowa 4 years.
Mark, earlier this week during the press conference on Tuesday, I brought this up with Ken, and you were there. So Kirk Ferentz mentions, hey, don't ask the guys about leaving early for the NFL draft. It was a conversation that happened last year, I think after the Illinois game, when Noah Fant was asked the question, is this going to be your final game, those kind of things in a Hawkeye uniform. What do you think was behind that from Kirk Ferentz?
Good question. I think distraction. I really think it's just the practical distraction of it. These guys aren't going to be blindsided by anybody's decision at any point, I don't think. Maybe portal guys. Maybe there'll be a few portal guys, because you know, you don't have to tell the coaches anymore that you're going in the portal. Mm-hmm. So I imagine they'll just be by, you know, math. There's going to be a few there. But when it comes to going pro, I think everybody knows where they stand. I think if Iowa was not being realistic with its outlook, and it is. I mean, I talked to Tim Polasek at Media Day, and I asked him straight up, okay, possibility you might have your tackles go to the NFL next year. Possibility, you know, it's a big crazy world. Anything can happen, right? So, they can go get paid to play football. I think they're probably going to do it. And he said, you know what? They have planned for that. That's why you've seen, I think this year, Kalen Berger play, because I think he's going to suddenly become a very important player next year when he's a starting tackle. So I think that they've gotten a little bit ahead of that, and I think they're totally realistic, and they know probably pretty good chance that Wirfs, Jackson, Epineza are in the league next year.
Anybody,
if they're not realistic with that, well, then that's shame on them.
Right. Any surprises, Mark, that might at least kick the tire, go through the process? It'd be crazy not to if they think they're close. I guess Geno Stone Agreed. Would be the guy. Or Woody, anybody pop into your mind?
Geno does. Geno pops in my mind. And then maybe, you know, I think Chauncey Golson would be a guy who could get drafted.
He's had a nice year.
But I think he's a guy who probably comes back and could get drafted higher than he would get drafted this year. But any more can. I think the guys are picking money, and I don't blame them.
Nor do I.
That's a short window. It's a short window, and, you know, Anthony Nelson, yeah, he took a chance, and he got picked in the fourth round, and Monty Hooker's name. Well, the signing bonus for that is $800,000. That's a pretty good start on life.
Nate Stanley will be going through the senior day pomp and circumstance. I don't think we'll see a whole lot of emotion out of Nate. That doesn't seem exactly, don't think you're going to see any tears from him as he's running to meet his parents there at midfield. But his legacy, didn't get a division championship, never got a victory against his home state Badgers, but finish strong here, win the last two games, and win another bowl game. Where do you think we're going to look back at the Nate Stanley career? Maybe not after this year, but when we're talking about this in 5, 8, 10 years.
Well, he dominated, won all three starts against Iowa State, won all three starts, didn't dominate, but won all three starts against Iowa State, won all three starts against Minnesota, will be favored to win all three starts against Nebraska. And has a chance to win three bowl games. I think that's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did he get him to a Rose Bowl? No. Did he have wins on this caliber that Chuck Long can claim? No. Matt Rogers even. You know, Matt Rogers had big games, had big wins. I think getting to 10 wins would be a big deal for Nate Stanley, because I think, that'd be one more star on the resume or on the paper. And to me, every little bit there helps. I think some fans, there's going to be a portion of fans who hold everything against them because that's sports fan nature. But I think there are going to be a lot of Iowa fans who can kind of see how much this career has meant. And to me, I think it's one of the bigger ones that I've covered, because basically of all the winning, beating Iowa State three times, beating Minnesota three times, I don't think you can take those types of things for granted.
Mm. Do you have an opinion, Mark, Penn State, Ohio State, Saturday?
I think Ohio State is going to crush your heads.
Do you?
I think Ohio State, I think I threw the points. Ohio State is, guys, I just don't see it. I think I do see the Big Ten title game, whomever that is. I think for whatever reason, I think it's going to be competitive. I think if Wisconsin gets a second chance, I think that game will be better. If Minnesota somehow gets there, I think Minnesota will go for broke and make it an interesting game. But I think Ohio State in the rest of the regular season, they're going to steamroll everybody. I think Ohio State beating Michigan will help Iowa get to the Holiday Bowl.
And that's where you want to go. San Diego.
Well, I think that's realistically where they're going. I mean, really. I mean, if they win two games, they're going to be 9-3. It's that kind of level of bowl game, and it just really lines up that way. And the only way right now I could see Iowa fans maybe seeing past that would be if any sort of shot came up for the Music City Bowl, I think Iowa fans would jump over that, because you could drive and the country music capital of the world.
Indeed, and maybe the Preds are happen to be home, which would be a little bonus for you and me, Mark Morehouse.
Hey, there is there
San Diego does have the goals back, so I would definitely go to the San Diego goals game.
Mark Morehouse. Well, last thing for you, Mark. Where are you on Mark D'Antonio? Is this it for him, do you think? I mean, we know that the Rutgers is still open. Whether Schiano's the guy there or not remains to be seen. I don't think there's any movement in the West we pursue with the coaches. D'Antonio, is the one to watch, right, in East Lansing?
Agree, and I think it's probably over. It just
feels like it.
It feels like it, and I've read, I've been reading for like the last month. People are up there, different culture up there. It's more of a results culture, Michigan State, because you're not beating Michigan, you're irrelevant. Mm. And in my mind, that's probably what gets D'Antonio in trouble. And I think the momentum is there for a change. There's a new athletic director, there's a new president, and it really does seem to be out of gas up there.
Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his game analysis, gazette.com. It is up there now, Illinois and Iowa. All the minutiae about that football game is online right now. Mark wrote it. I read it. It's good. Mark, thank you.
Thank you so much. You guys,
good to talk to you. Yep. Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette, gazette.com. All right, Trent, Thursday night football tonight in a pretty big spot in the AFC South. Both of these teams 6-4. Colts got the first one?
Yes. Yeah, so they would have the tiebreaker with the win here.
Very important for Houston, obviously. How do you see it? I know you're a Colts guy. This is your squad.
I know. I'm so tied up in the Colts already. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to be sitting this one out. I'll be firing at the Colts again. I'll grab the +4. Though those fours are not out there much anymore. Seeing a lot of 3.5s starting to pop up. And like NC State on the college side tonight.
And who do they have?
Georgia Tech in Atlanta. A lot of college basketball going on right now. Missouri State, the favorite in the MVC, is playing Miami.
Like right now, you mean?
Right now, as those Thanksgiving holiday tournaments are starting to get going. Basketball all day long.
Yeah, it's a busy time of year. No doubt about that. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with a Football Friday program. We'll give some barbecue away from Claxons. Our picks as well. Charter's picks. He's on a bit of a roll. Dylan Montz, Tom Cakert, some NFL conversation as
recap
well.
Recap Iowa against the Ospreys from North Florida.
We can squeeze that in.
Grab the points.
Murph and Andy at 2, Fanatics at 4, Cyclone Fanatic Radio at 6, Hawkeye Nation Radio at 7, Morning Rush tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Thanks for being here, 14.